Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of One Vision, the FinTech Fuse. This is Theo, your host for the episode. I'd like to welcome back an old friend of the show and a wonderful friend of mine, Ralph DeCumpe, CEO of FinTech Week London. Welcome back, Ralph.
Thank you very much. It's very great to be back. It's always fun to have a chat with you, and I'm honored to be re-invited for the podcast as well.
Yay, we're going to make this recurring. I see a trend here, which is amazing.
It'll be a yearly thing. Well, let's hope, because that means that the event is also still a yearly thing. Sounds like a good plan.
It is a good plan. Positive, my friend, positive. So we are gearing up, as you mentioned, another year of the event, also known as the FinTech Week London. Now, interestingly, I see from the first time I think we collaborated to now, the show keeps on changing, whether or not the people that are speaking, the content, where you have it, the format, et cetera, which I love because, you know, change is a constant in our industry. So tell us a little bit about the changes for the show this year. What's going on? Where is it going to be held? When? Etc.
Yeah, it's definitely a change is a constant, is 100% for sure. Also for us, I think we want to see where we add the most value to the community and to the ecosystem. So we always try and play where the most value is added, and we keep on changing. We collaborate with different people and different partners. In the first year, we've worked with, I think, first of all, it was fresh out of COVID, so it was hybrid. We've worked with different parties that set up side events. And then this year again, we'll be actually going a week earlier. So we're in the week of the 10th until the 14th of June, which is the same week as London Tech Week, on purpose again, because there'll be, if we have to look at the number, 60,000 people in the city interested in tech in the broadest sense. And of course, a big part of those people will be interested in fintech. So the first 3 days of that week is the traditional London Tech Week conference, with whom we have a fringe partnership. And then the Thursday, we are going to be doing our event, which is our FinTech Week London flagship conference. We're also going to be collaborating with other parties like FinTech Fringe and FinFest to make sure that everybody who comes to the city really has something to do, whether you're a startup, a company just landing in the UK looking to expand your market, or you're an established company, a bank, an incumbent, if you can use that word, and looking for either networking or content. So it's going to be a week earlier. We're also changing the format from 2 days with one stage to 1 day with two stages. Again, we listened to our attendees. Most of them said, listen, it's great, but we are already out of the office multiple days this week. So it would be good if we can push everything to 1 week so we can meet everybody. That, of course, means we have to accommodate for it in the program as well, because if you have more people and less time, it means you have to make more time for networking. So we're going to make sure the stages are aligned, that there's plenty of room for networking. We're going to try some different styles of networking as well. And it's going to be hyper efficient on Thursday the 13th in the Park Plaza in London. That's the last change. We're coming back to the city center, right around the corner from Victoria Station. So you can almost see Buckingham Palace from where we are. It's going to be a big difference from being further outside of the city.
I like that change. Now, I must admit, the pictures coming out from the stadium last year was super cool. I remember I liked the space because it allows for a lot of room for people to chat, to catch up, which at the end of the day, you mentioned community, right? It's all about the community. A lot of these events is bringing people together, exchanging ideas, catching up. It's always about the community. So I am sure, regardless of where it is, now, city center is always good because that's where all the food is. So it will be awesome. I look forward to it. Now, I know that as we're on the topic of new and change, also new this year is a partnership that I spotted with Safe Space, you had mentioned to us. Now, I must confess, I haven't heard of Safe Space until you told us. And I was super curious. Who are they? And what is their role within the context of FinTech Week London? Tell us a little bit more about how that partnership started and what's behind it.
Well, I think they're actually a quite new and young company still. So if you haven't heard from them, you're not to blame. Although after FinTech Week London, I'm hoping that everybody, at least in the UK, knows about them. I met them at another event I went to. And it was interesting because they were demonstrating their product at the event, but the founders were also there. And it's a solution to make a safe space, as the name says, for everyone. So that means not only your suppliers and your speakers, but also all the attendees. And I was very, very moved by their story because one of the founders, being a woman and a keynote speaker, had experienced harassment herself and said there's actually no good way of reporting it at many events. There's no way of reaching out to someone. You can't do it anonymously. There's no process in place. So a situation that's already very difficult and very stressful and emotionally has a huge impact on a person has no standard protocol for many events. And what we're doing is we're going to be working with them. The first step is, of course, prevention. So that means we're going to implement a very strict code of conduct. It'll be a very clear phrase, and that's again something they help with because they're so experienced. Very clear phrase, I will do this and I won't do this. So it will be very simple to understand what kind of behavior will be allowed. There will be no place for harassment, for discrimination, for anything really that impedes on a person's personal freedom. So it's something that will go from the speakers to the people who are attending, also the staff. Something that's very important for us. So that code of conduct tries to prevent unwanted behavior from happening. But then there's a second spot, which is also their solution. There's a way of reporting in case something would happen, which means there's a QR code and a link where people can anonymously report an incident. And then we as a team are being trained by them to take the appropriate actions, to use the right language when you're responding to someone to an incident like that, to make sure that it's there's a process in place if the person who receives the actual complaint is involved in it. So it's quite a very extensive solution, but their name sums it up really well, Safe Space Plus. The idea is to create a safe space, an inclusive environment, something we've been trying to do for years, working on that inclusion angle, not only in terms of gender balance, but also people of color, also people with disabilities. And this just kind of creates that space and the opportunity for people to be themselves, feel well if something would go wrong. Luckily, up until now, there hasn't been anything major reported at our events, but then we also know a lot of it goes unreported. So I don't want to say it doesn't happen, but nothing that has been reported, or at least to me, I'm made aware of. But apart from preventing this happening at our events, I'm hoping to inspire every event that's happening around the world to make them really see. I mean, there's research enough, it's on our website, 4 out of 10 people, female keynotes, speakers, report harassment. And every time I speak about the topic with no matter whom, if I say we have Safe Space Plus implemented, what it does, automatically, if it's a woman, she'll come back with a story of when she was harassed or discriminated against at an event. So it happens way too often, and it's something that everybody in the event industry should work on. So I'm hoping to inspire a lot of people where they will work with Safe Space Plus or another solution to make sure that their event is a safe space and an inclusive environment.
I like that, and I know that I've said this in prior conversations with you in earlier FinTech Week London events. That's the one thing I really, really do appreciate about collaborating with you, Rob, is you do care. Inclusion is an easy thing to say, but putting it in action requires a different level of intention. And kudos to you, and I do hope that this will help inspire. I do think that the real world stat is likely way higher than 4 in 10. I cannot think of one close female friend of mine in my circle that we had not experienced it. So thank you. And let's go and make the world a tad bit better if we can through each of our individual actions. So let's talk about the agenda a little bit, the content. You mentioned that it's going to be one day. two stages. What should our audience expect from the lineup this year?
I'm actually really excited. I think I'm excited every year, so I can't keep saying that, but I am truly, honestly, really excited about what we have planned for the 13th of June. I think in terms of content, we're going to have a few really cool, let's say, eye-catching sessions. We're going to have Tori Burnson, who's the CEO of Europe and Americas for Standard Chartered, doing a keynote. We're going to talk to the Chief Client Officer at Engine by Starling and the Head of Commercial Growth at Starling to talk about what's in the future for. I mean, you can still call them challenger banks, but Starling is a bank at this point. They're a digital native bank. They're a neo bank. I don't know. There's many terms going around, but they are a bank and they are growing. And instead of the traditional way where banks would go and say, okay, let's open a new branch in whatever country, they're going a completely different route and saying either it's going to be banking as a software, banking as a service or software as a service. That's our growth plan. So they started Engine and Starling Banking Services. So I think that's going to be a great fireside chat. Also two very inspiring women that are going to be on stage. So I'm very proud of that. Again, you know, it's something we always try to look for, both the content that is top notch, but also the people that are inspiring. So that'll be great. And in terms of key themes for the rest, we're going to talk about embedded finance, but a lot about the lending side. There'll be some sessions on Web3 and crypto. And we'll definitely delve into InsurTech again, and we'll make the link with InsurTech and AI. We're very lucky that Sabine von der Linden has agreed after her panel last year to come back. So, I mean, she's referred to as the InsurTech queen, so there's not much more that I can say than that'll be a great session on that. Delving into data risk and fraud as well, looking at how a company can use data to their benefit, but also how to secure that data and what it does for risk in the financial sector. Payments is one that's coming back. AI, like I said. And then a new one, which is really exciting, is we're working with a new partner, a new platinum partner called Foundever. And we're going to look into customer experience and consumer centricity. So really looking at how, because it's a big difference, right? The banking world now, people are used to getting the information they want when they want it in the way they want it. So it's a whole new customer than 10 years ago, than 5 years ago even. So how as a bank can you put that customer or that consumer central in your thinking and really, even though you, if you're a traditional bank, might have 80,000 legacy systems and backends, how can you serve that customer and make the interface user-friendly? And not only user-friendly, but also inclusive. And that's going to be one of the topics as well. Inclusive ESG and FinTech for Good is coming back. We're very proud to be working with Joe Dewar and her team. They've launched actually this week at the UK FinTech Week, they've launched their Project Nemo. It's a 12-month initiative providing a wake-up call for a change in disability inclusion in the fintech industry. So it's something that we, of course, want to support because, like I said earlier, inclusivity isn't only based on the gender balance. It's a good start, but including people of color, people with disability, there's a lot of work there. And the fact that this program is going to focus on people with disability, we're going to give it a place on stage as well and discuss what that project means and what we can do as an industry to support it.
There's lots more we can do. When we start thinking about the different themes on inclusion, right? So you touched on it, not just about gender. It's not just about your ethnicity, color of your skin. It can also be about what our friend Nina did, you know, was about immigrants, people who move, who are displaced, those who are economically depressed, those who just, you know, had to run in with justice, you know, that can be another theme. There are so many things that I think our traditional financial services system do not serve well and things that we can change. And with your platform and with the people that are in there and with the intention to change, I do think one of these days we will get to a better place. And that's the one thing you lead straight into the next thing I wanted to ask you about, and something I feel strongly about. If we take a step back, you look around our space, there's no lack of fintech conferences, absolutely none. Feels like every week there are at least one, if not two. always something going on in San Francisco, always something going on in New York and London and Hong Kong and Singapore and Dubai, literally, or Amsterdam now too. Everywhere you look, there is always something going on. What makes FinTech Week London unique? And what do you think the future of FinTech conferences will be? Because we've come through a full cycle, it feels like. During COVID, we did a lot of remote. Post-COVID, we did some hybrid. Now we came back together, but it feels like we came back together for a different reason and in a different way. So are we looking at, I don't know, smaller, more intimate? Are we looking for larger? Everyone looks the same because, I don't know, we all look for something. I'm always very curious to hear, what do you think how the show and in general, the FinTech conference space will evolve?
Well, it's a good question. There's a lot to unpack there, I think. First of all, like you say, there's so many things happening. So I do think it can become a bit difficult sometimes to find what suits you and what's the conference or event that really matches with what you're doing. We do try to collaborate. Like I said, we work with FinFest, which is trying to gather all the things that are happening around FinTech during that week of the 10th until the 14th of June to direct people in the right way. If you're an international company coming into the market for the first time, or you're an established company. So there are initiatives that try and help people find the right thing for them. And of course, it's important to differentiate. I think if you ask what makes FinTech Week London unique, is the way that we approach our event. It's a combination of very top tier content and the right people in the room. We curate our audience, so 70% of who's in the room is a decision maker. It's also a mix of both banks and insurances, the more traditional companies, and fintech companies and tech companies. So even though we're called FinTech Week, it's definitely where banks and fintechs meet each other as well. And it's a choice, it's a conscious choice not to grow too big. I think we're reaching 1,000 people this year. I can see it growing into the future to 2,000, 2,500. But I think that's about a maximum if you want to make sure that it's those decision makers that are in there. If you go bigger, you get a different audience, which can also be valuable, because it all depends on why is the attendee coming? Are they coming to learn about FinTech because they're a newbie? Are they coming to network, but they're a senior profile and they only want to talk to senior profiles? Are they looking for a partnership, somebody who can help them with their product, or are they looking for clients? So I think what's important for the industry is to make sure that we are very transparent with both our audience, our attendees, and our potential sponsors. What are we doing and what can you come do with us? I think for FinTech Week London, for our flagship conference, like I said, it's a senior audience, so that's a bit what we're looking at. And in terms of what can you find, it's partnerships, so other FinTech companies that you can work with, and it's potential clients, because the banks are there as well, the insurance companies are there as well. So that's the way we differentiate ourselves from the other events that are happening. And I do think there's a huge value in having this many different events, because it means that if you want to go to a bigger event, there's some really good industry events that are big, that are done very well by the likes of Money 2020, for instance. They do their event every year in Amsterdam, they do theirs in Vegas, and now added Asia. I mean, there's definitely an audience for those, and the quality of those events is so good. But there's also the smaller events for just 100 people with a community that's pure networking on a Thursday evening in London, which also has value. So in terms of, there is a lot, you could say, is there too much? I don't believe that, because I think it's good that there's something for everyone. But you do see a change. You see a change where before COVID, there was this kind of event fatigue, where now after COVID, everything became hybrid. And then people were after that, they were like, no, we need to be in person. We've since the beginning said in person is something we believe in. If you want to make a meaningful connection, it's important to not only talk about your product with that person, but kind of find a personal link. And that's done a lot easier in person than it is behind the screen. That being said, content, for instance, and there's a lot of questions of people for the content to be more online and to be more hybrid, because content you can kind of go through on your own time when you want to, versus if you are in the room, you actually want to talk to people. And that's something we're going to expand on this year as well. Last year we did one speed networking session. So I think we put 25 people, well, 50 people, but 25 tables in a room. And every 3 minutes there was a bell, and it was an old traditional school bell. So it was quite loud. It was an iron, it wasn't a digital button anyway. It was a loud bell that forced people to move from one table to the other. And it's very efficient because you get 1 minute to introduce yourself, 1 minute to listen to somebody else introduce themselves, and then kind of 1 minute to find out, is there a match? Are we both looking for a partnership or a client? Well, if you have two people trying to sell, that's not going to work. But is one person looking for a solution and the other person has a solution? And that's something you can find out pretty quick. And afterwards, you can easily say, okay, let's set up a follow-up meeting. So we're going to expand on that. And we're actually going to do 6 sessions of 1 hour each, where 15 tables are put. So 30 people can meet each other around different topics, specifically payments, lending, AI, banking, and say, okay, if you register for the event and you register for the speed networking session, we promise you that you'll at least have 15 meetings that will be very efficient and where you will very quickly see, is this person interesting or is their solution interesting to me or not? And shall we set up a follow-up meeting? And that's on top of the standard networking, the tables that you can book and everything that is happening. So yeah, I think to get back to the question, actually, because I kind of went on a tangent there. So what is in store for the future of Fintech Week London is really looking at how can we optimize networking? How can we curate that? How can we offer what people are asking for? And also, maybe is the timing right? Do we have to change again? Because we've done it in July, we've done it in June. Do we have to move? And we are hoping, and that we'll see after June, of course, is that we can add some smaller events throughout the year where we can bring everybody back together, maybe a bit more focused on that networking part and a bit less on the content part. But we definitely see that our community, everybody meets up at different events, but there's definitely the need for our community to see each other more than once a year at one of our events. So that's something we have in the pipeline as well.
I keep nodding my head. I can't agree more. I felt very lucky that we actually were able to meet up quickly for lunch with Sabine back 2 months ago. But I mean, you're right. At the end of the day, we take a step back and look at why do people come together? They come together because they want to catch up. They want to see if there's something that they can help each other out with, especially given how the space has been for the last year and a half. There's no lack of stories about fintech funding going down, some startups need help, some people are changing jobs, we're looking for new opportunities. At the same time, new things keep popping up, right? So what's the best way to get up to speed, to see what's going on, is through these events. And I do like the smaller events. I don't know if that's to do with age. As I get older, I like smaller get-together. But there is something to it about being in a manageable size place that you can actually talk without having to scream on top of one another and try to, you can't even remember what you talk about after a huge event. Like you collected, you know, 200 cards and then you come back home and you look at it like, wait a minute, what, who are these people, first of all? So I do like, you know, a right sized event for the right reason. I think those are really good. I also start seeing some destination events where you force people to go into a nice location, like a vineyard, an island of sorts, that you are forced to be unplugged from other in-person stuff. Like if you're in London, if you're in New York, you're like, oh, I'll pop in for half a day because I have things going on in the office. When you're somewhere that is further detached, you can't just pop back into the office for half a day. And people end up talking to each other more. And I did one of those recently, and it was really interesting because I ended up meeting someone from London, someone from Bermuda, someone from Texas in this one place, and we kept in touch. I mean, it's nice. There's something to be said about bringing people from different corner, and that's another part of thinking about things. So I think the future is going to be interesting, and I do look forward to it.
I agree.
Right?
So, I agree. I think It's something you definitely see growing, those destinations events, and we see it at our conference as well. We are back to the city now, and that is specifically because people want to come in and out and want to say, okay, but our day is too busy. But on the other hand, that's also why we're doing it on one day now, so it allows people to say, okay, from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. I'm committing my time to this, and I'm going to, because like you say, that is an advantage of those destination conferences. You're completely unplugged, you're there anyway, and instead of running quickly for a lunch meeting with someone, you'll do a lunch meeting with someone there, and you get extra value out of your ticket. So it's something that we see, and we're taking a look at the evolution there, if it's something that we could add to our event. Of course, FinTech Week London will always stay in London, kind of gives the kind of giveaway in the name.
Well, I think it's going to be fun regardless. And I can't wait to see what June will hold. So before we go, where can we find out more about FinTech Week London? Where can we go?
The best place to go is always our website. It's quite easy. It's fintechweek.london. So that's where we have all the information on the speakers, on the program. There's a dedicated page to all the other events that are happening throughout the week. And we try to be very active on LinkedIn as well. So if you follow our company page, FinTech Week London on LinkedIn, you'll be sure to get some updates. And if you want to go the extra mile and really make sure that you're aware of what's happening, you can register for our newsletter on our website. It's something we send out a maximum of 2 emails per month, where there are updates on the new speakers, the initiatives, the partnerships we take. And the closer to the event, of course, the more details you get.
It's on LinkedIn and Instagram as well. You guys are quite active. So I can't wait to see you on June 13th. And I hope to see more of those who are listening into the show. Thank you so much for joining us. And for the rest of our listeners, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of One Vision, the FinTech Views. We'll talk to you all next week.